Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word of power and the power of your word. Lord, as we come to your feet this morning, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Instruct us, O God. Take us from where we are to where we are supposed to be. Let your name alone be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a very important discourse. We've been looking at this topic that has been a blessing to a lot of us. And a number of people who are not part of the physical assembly, people who are online family, and that is developing a breakthrough mentality. And so many things has been taught, so many things have been said. But last week, I remember that the pastor gave us some 8 things that are life transforming. Those 8 things. And one of them stood out to me. And that is the point that said, although our faith is personal, we've not been called to walk alone. Our faith is personal, but we've not been called to walk alone. And along that line, he shared with us that one shall chase 1,000, 2 will put 10,000 to flight. That means no matter how strong one person is, there is only so much what one person can do. And he shared with us also that imagine if all of us are together, if all of us are on the same page. That means if the enemy comes after one of us, all of us will retaliate. So that means we become impervious, our life becomes very shielded and protected in the hands of the Almighty. There's strength in unity. We are not a union. We are united in the Spirit. The Bible says, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I was thinking on this, and in thinking about it, something just occurred to me. And we all know it. By the grace of God, we'll be moving to our campus very imminently. We are moving there very soon. And as you know, the place is not like this. It's much bigger, it's much better, it's much grander, it's very comfortable. We've seen the pictures, and the pictures don't do justice. I'm sure when we get there, we'll understand what I'm saying. But if we're going to enter into what God has for us through that campus, because it's a wonderful place, but it's not about the building, it's about the vision. It's about advancing his kingdom. If we're going to advance his kingdom through that property he has given us, then there's something that we all need. How many of us would like to be great? How many of us would like to be great? Who likes mediocrity? Then we are in the right place. There is a permanent, tested, and verifiable solution to mediocrity. There's a way that leads to greatness. It's a freeway. There's no traffic there. And that is one thing I'll be telling us this morning. I'll be sharing with us on service. And I've entitled my sharing this morning, Serving is Greatness. Serving is greatness. Serving is greatness. We must have heard of this before. It is not new to us, but I want to bring it to the front and center. So when we get to that place, every joint can supply what is meant to supply. Please open with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter number 4. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Let's continue. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supply. By what every joint supply. We are all part of the body of Christ. But there is something you and I must supply. We are a joint. We must supply something. Just like we came here today. Yes, our brain told us it's time for church. You dress up. But then, if your leg refuses to cooperate, no matter how much idea of church you have on your mind this morning, it won't happen. Every joint must supply something. There is no joint in Christ that is redundant. There is no joint that is vestigial. There is no joint that is irrelevant. There is none of us here that is not useful. If we are going to fulfill our potential in God, if we are going to live in the fullness of the breakthrough mentality, we must be ready to start supplying. We must bring something to the table. God has saved us for a particular purpose. I'll take my main scripture this morning from Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And by the grace of God, this one, we'll look at the lives of three men of faith. And we'll learn one or two things from their lives in terms of service. Exodus chapter number 3. I will read from verses 1 to 6. The other scripture, I want us to write it down. We can read it in our own time because of our time. And that will be 1 Samuel 17, 12 to 20. 1 Samuel 17, 12 to 20. But I'll read Exodus chapter 3 from verses 1 to 6. It's the reason I could say, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Let's read it. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush, so that he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Thank you. This will be our main scripture for this morning. And I want to take some things from the life of Moses, some things from the life of David, and some things from the life of Joseph. And we'll see what are the peculiarities in the life of these three great men of God, and what we can learn from them in terms of service. I will start with David. I will come back to this because we'll round up with this because of time. We remember the story of David very well. So that is the scripture I said we should write down for our own personal study when we get home because of time. That is 1 Samuel 17, 12 to 20. We remember David. David was anointed king of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you remember that story very well, the day he was anointed, God had directed Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. And when he got there, people were laid up. People who were men who looked like they could be the king that Israel needed. Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, all of them. And it got to a point, all of them went before Samuel, but God said no. And then he had to ask Jesse, is there any more son? And I said, oh, there is one who is looking after the sheep. And they called him, he was anointed. But then, chapter 17 came. Israel was at war. They were going to war. Despite the fact that David had been anointed king, David was not invited to that battle that day. And what makes it, if you confine yourself to the flesh, what makes it more embarrassing if David was to confine himself to the flesh was that he was anointed king. And in those days, serving in the military was very prestigious. It was for men. It was for grown-ups. That was what distinguished boys from men. It was for people who had status. It was something to be proud of. It was something that every young man would look forward to. It's like going to West Point if you're an American, or going to Sandhurst if you're a British citizen. It was something that was so prestigious. It was something that ultimately would line you up for success. But somehow, David was not part of the people invited for that battle. And instead, what was he doing? He was looking after the sheep. And then how did he go to the battle that his father told him? Go and deliver groceries to your brothers. And there was something David did, which I want to show us today about serving. Let's quickly go to that 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. If you look at verse 20, so after his father has instructed him to go to the battlefield to go and deliver groceries and check the welfare of his siblings, verse 20, So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. Question. Why didn't David say, oh, you didn't, I was not invited anyway. So why should I go and be carrying groceries to these people? And one thing, he did not grudge. He was not like, he didn't complain that, Daddy, don't you know that I've been anointed yesterday? Now, how come I'm not part of the people selected? No. He did. And then, when the opportunity to go to the battlefield came, he was not itchy to run away from looking after the sheep. What the Bible says, he left the sheep in charge of a keeper. He didn't abandon the sheep that were in his hands. How do we care for the people that God has placed in our hands? Where are you serving? David's, although physically his body was on the battlefield, but his heart was with his sheep. That's why he could not just leave them and say, Daddy, you send me on this errand. Please get somebody to cover. He would not leave his duty post until he was sure somebody was doing that job. Question, how do you see your service in the house of God? Is it a matter of convenience or is something that you are passionate about? Is it something that you care about or is something that, oh, if I can do it, I do it. If I cannot do it, it's okay. Remember, when we serve in the house, we are not serving man, we are serving God. If you can do your best to please your boss, you come at 8 o'clock, you leave late, you do things, how much more God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Although you don't see him physically, but he takes note. He knows who is around. He knows who comes. He knows those who do not come. He knows those who serve with their heart and those who do it so they can get credit. Those who do it, when everybody's there, you are the one lifting every machine and every mountain. But when nobody's there, we'll do it later. No, we can't do that at the campus. We cannot do that. We have to learn from the life of David. He will not leave those sheep behind. And did he know that Goliath was on the battlefield that day? He did not know. He was just going to go and deliver the assignment that God had given him, or his father had given him, and then he met Goliath. And one funny thing, although the big men, the qualified people had gone to battle, none of them had what it takes to face Goliath. He was the one that was excluded. He was the one that was looked down upon. He was the one that was to go and carry groceries. I've said this before. If you are too big for small things, you are too small for big things. Big things start small. Big things that small. Don't they know who I am? I have a PhD. I have done this, I've done that. I should be the one. No. Whether you are mopping the toilet or you are preaching, it is God who gives you the reward. And it does not matter what position man gives. It does not matter. It's not about position. It's about serving. We're all ministers. We've been called to minister. Remember, Jesse did not know that there'll be an opportunity to face Goliath that day. He was just going to run an errand for his father. Are you faithful in that little place God has placed you? You may think I'm just going to meet my colleagues, but you never know what God will orchestrate to that place. Because your place of service is your place of destiny. Your place of service is your place of purpose. And we will see very soon how God met him where he was supposed to be. You see, that's why you don't have to elbow your way. This is not the world. There's no need for crap, but this is the church of God. Unfortunately, a lot of churches have copied the world. Stay where you are supposed to stay. Stay in your place. Your victory will look for you. Once you are doing the right things. See, when you are in God, when you are staying in your purpose, everything you need. Remember that he taught us that provision always follow vision. Once you have the vision, your provision will come. You don't have to cheat for it. You don't have to do all those things. Just trust God. It may not look glamorous. It may not look what you've been told to do. Oh, you might be the one that has the best voice in church, and you may be told to go and stand behind the camera, and nobody hears you like me, camera. No, we don't. In my former church, I was so and so. No, it is called process. You have to grow. You need grace. And it is when you are doing those things, and you will see when David God before Goliath. What CV did he present? He presented the CV that no one knew. No one knew he had killed the bear and the lion. He was by himself. No one saw that. CNN was not there that day. But by the time he presented the CV, Saul could not stop him. Even Saul, the big king, had not done that before. Because and all the armor they gave, he didn't need it. The grace, the presence of God was with him. And he was able to enter into his purpose. That is David. I'll paraphrase David's life. in that regard. Next one, Joseph. We know the story of Joseph very well. Very well. Genesis 39, you can read the entire chapter, but I'll just take a snippet of service. When he left his father's house, the plan was not to go to Egypt. He was also going to go and check his brethren. They had gone to Shechem. Apparently, they from Shechem, they went to Dothan without telling anybody. But he did not stop. These brothers did not like him. Because of that, he did not waste his time himself. They didn't like, no, daddy sent me to Shechem. Let me turn back at Shechem. He went to Dothan. But when he got there, we know what happened. He was sold into slavery. And when he got to the house of Potiphar, he was serving. Potiphar became very wealthy off the back of Joseph. Joseph got nothing in return. He had no salary. There was no benefit. He had the opportunity to cheat Potiphar. He never did. He was faithful. And the payment he got for doing well for Potiphar was to be sent into prison. And then when he got to prison, what was he given the assignment again? To look after the prisoner. And I began to think that if he was given the assignment to look after the prisoner, what is that job description called? He's a warder. So it was a prison warden. At least a prisoner will get sentence of 1 year, whatever number of years, but he will have to come every day. And because he didn't sign any legal contract, Potiphar was just using him for free. He was not bitter. He did not do it. He kept serving. He kept serving. He kept serving. And one day, God remembered him. One day, God remembered Joseph. And it was at the point of service that looked seemingly impossible that God brought him to the highest office in the land. And the Bible told us, if you go to Genesis 45, he became father to Pharaoh eventually. He was not an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He was a foreigner. All those things were there. But yet, because he stood in his place of assignment, he kept serving. Even when it seems nobody was rewarding him, God rewarded him more than Potiphar could ever have done. If Potiphar had granted him clemency, what would that equate to? Joseph was the one running the economy of Pharaoh. He was of Egypt. He was teaching the senators of Egypt wisdom. But where did this start from? Serving. Serving from the house to the prison. And things got from bad to worse. But yet, he did not give up. He did not lose hope. So, where are you now? You think, oh, well, it's not, look, I've done this for so long. Oh, I'm the one that does this. Nobody's seeing me. Yeah, man does not have to see. Once God sees you, it's done. Once God sees you, it is enough. It is God that rewards, not man, not any of us. And if you look at it, while he was at home as his father's favorite son, he had a coat of many colors. Usually, service will take you to unfamiliar territories. It will take you to places you don't like. It will make you do things you don't want to do. Imagine, Daddy Pastor has told us this story many times. The destination was America. And it was not that he was still planning. Visa was ready. Everything was, he just had to get to the airport and everything was done. And then God said, can we go to Kano? What? I bind you, devil. But the devil did not go away. And we may not understand what, but Kano is like, it's as if you're in Australia and you're sending somebody to Afghanistan or Iraq or some or Syria. When you have the choice to say no. But God sent them there to train them, to build capacity. He looked as if they were, I'm sure a lot of people will have despised that move. A lot of people have disagreed that these people have now become fanatic. I know now, but those people, they will never say it now. But I'm sure a day will come, those people will say, I respect the God on your inside. Those people who despise you that. And I'm sure that there will be people who are in America who you are 10 times better than today. Not because America is a bad place, but your best place, your place that will flourish is your place of assignment. Because if you look at Deuteronomy, the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says they lack nothing. Is it because there are so many resources in the wilderness? No, was because they had the presence of God. So no matter how difficult your terrain may be, no matter how unappealing that place you are serving may be, if God has put you there, he will keep you there. So I beg us this morning, let's re-examine ourselves. Are you serving or you just come and you go? Are you serving? And there is no one that God has not given a talent. That's why there's a parable in the parable of the talent. One got one, one got two, one got five. And they were rewarded based on what they were. It was multiplied. Two became four. Five became ten. He didn't ask the man who had one, why didn't you have ten? No. You'll be rewarded based on what he has given to you. Why don't you use what he has given to you? We cannot just be Sunday Christian. If you're going to make an impact with the campus, we must do something different. We must pray. We must intercede. We must follow up. Every joint must supply something. You can't just sit down. And I want us to look at that Exodus 3, verse by verse. Exodus chapter 3, I want us to break it down. And I'll round up. Exodus chapter 3, 1 to 6. Number 1, it says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. I went to go and check the meaning of tending. And I was quite impressed. We all know the meaning. It means to take care of, to watch over, to minister to. The question is this. What has been, the thing that has been committed into your hand, are you truly watching over them? Do you tend for them? Because there is difference. The Bible does not say Moses was rearing the flock of Jethro. Rearing is just everywhere, where Belef is. Just carry, just do it. No. He was tending. That means not only was he leading them, he was directing, he was making sure no harm came to them. Are you doing your job as if, are you serving where you are as if this is mine? Oh, let me just do so that they won't say I didn't come. Please don't have that mentality. Don't have that mindset. Service is greatness. And we will see at the end of the day what happened to all these three men. Moses, at this point, at least he had spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt as a prince. Now, all of a sudden, he found himself in Midian. And the only job he could find was tending the flock of Pharaoh. He could have been bitter that, don't they know who I am? That in Egypt, I will have 20 maids serving me. I'll be eating on a big table and I have a lot of friends and I will have the gold ornaments and all those things. But he forgot all those things. He was tending that sheep. Are you tending the sheep in your care? When last did you pray for somebody? When last did you pray for that man? When last did you pray for that woman? When last did you call that person? You didn't see that person in church. What have you done about it? You don't only copy when you need them. We must tend the sheep because the Lord will be bringing sheep into our way. He will be bringing people. Are we going to tend them or just going to rear them? So, oh, they just came to church. No, we must show affection. We must minister to their needs because that was what Moses did. And let's see something they said. He was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. At this point, he was over 40 years old. He would still have been okay if he was tending his own flock. He was working for his father-in-law. His father-in-law was his boss. So he could fire him at any time. This was not the life Moses envisaged. He was a prince. And all of a sudden, the tide turned. All of a sudden, it was complete opposite of what he was used to for the first 40 years of his life. At times, he may look as if life has gone south. He may look as if life has gone completely contrary to what the Lord has told you. It might just be that God is processing you. It might just be that God is training you. It might just be that God wants to do something. And you will see. And I was just thinking that if Moses was from a cultural background, from an African background, you tell people, what job do you do? I work for my father-in-law. I'm sure somebody say, hey, John, what happened to you? Have they used your head to do something? I mean, why can't you go and get a better job? But he did not allow any shame to disturb him. I wonder what the newspapers will have said in his time. They will have said, I can imagine the headline. Fall from grace to grass. You know, the downfall of a murderous prince. All manners of things. They will have said things to hurt him. They will have made fun of him because news fly. They will have known. Remember, he had to escape. He exiled himself so he would avoid the punishment. But then, he did not allow that to bother him. He was tending that sheep. And let's see what happened. And he led the flock to the back of the desert. Question. How many of us have been to the desert before? I have not been, but I've seen a little bit of it. If you go to Dubai, it's pretty hot there. And the Bible did not say, and I love when Nick and James said, he led them to the back of the desert. Do you think he wanted to go to the back of the desert? He went there because they were looking for vegetation. So the easy places had been eaten up by all of that flock. So he had to go further. He had to go the extra mile. In serving God, he will ask you for the extra mile. He will ask you to go beyond your comfort zone. You have to do 5 o'clock prayer, even if it's not convenient. Even if you went to bed at whatever o'clock, you have to wake up. You have. If we think that we're going to serve God based on convenience, it is not going to work. You will serve God based on sacrifice. The desert was difficult, but he went to the back of the, that means the desert, the heart of the heart. And what happened? And he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. I want to remind us this morning, you don't find God in common places. You find God in a place of sacrifice. You find God in a place of pushing. You find God in a place of intercession. You find him in a place that is not easy. On our way to church this morning, were you driving on gold this morning? You just, all the road was littered with gold. If you're looking for gold, where do you find it? You dig, you mine, you go, anything that is precious, it takes effort and searching and looking to find. So if you are going to find God, you must seek him. You must be ready to go to the back of the desert. You must be ready to go the extra mile. And verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Question, why was it that the bush was not consumed? Remember, they were in the desert. And we know even in Australia, there are some days they call days of total fire ban because it is so, anything, the air is so thin, it is so windy. We don't get to those temperatures here, but even those times, you drop anything, it will catch fire. So how come they were in the desert? Very hot. It could be up to 40 or 50 degrees. But yet, this bush was burning but was not consumed. Why? It should be easy to burn anything at that temperature. Because our God doesn't destroy. Our God is not like, that's why when every time God, there was an earthquake orchestrated by God, nobody gets killed. And we saw it in Melbourne, remember, 2 years ago. So our God is not a God that delights in the blood of his people. No, he shed his blood for us. It was because the presence of God was there. It was the presence. He would not destroy that bush because he knew that the sheep, they needed that pasture anyway. So I better keep it for this man. He just wanted his attention. He wanted his attention. So what fire is burning around you and you think it's my village people? It might just be God is knocking at the door. It might just be God wants to tell you something. It might just be God is inviting you that come and see what I'm about to do. I'm about to do a new thing. That was the fire. And what happened? When he turned aside to see, the bush was not, but let's continue. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? And what happened? So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, God will not speak to you unless you turn aside. He will not waste his word. His words are precious. He doesn't speak to every Jack Thomas. No, you must turn aside, then God will start speaking. You must make a time. You must consecrate yourself. You must be ready to pull aside, and then God will start speaking. And what happened? He now said, take your sandals off your feet for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have read this verse 5 many times. So many messages have been preached about it, but there was something the Holy Spirit taught me that I would like to let us know this morning. He taught me 3 things about that verse 5. He said, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Number one, we've established that it was in the desert, and if the temperature, let's assume, was 40 degrees, how many of us have tried, in winter, we all rug up because it's so cold. When it is really hot in summer, do you walk barefoot in summer? Because your feet will burn. This was a man now in the desert, hotter than what we know. And God is telling him, take off your feet. Take off your sand off your feet. God was telling him, come to me. I want to show you a new dimension. I want to show you the journey of faith. Because it would take faith for Moses to take off his sandal and not expect the soul of his feet to be burnt in that desert. God wanted to show him that you've done 40 years in Pharaoh's house, you've done everything according to A equals B equals C, but now those days are gone. I'm going to take you on a journey of faith. Take off your feet. And we're not told that his feet got burnt. Because when you walk in faith, he was walking on the water, remember? Just like Peter was walking on water. So when he took off his feet, he didn't have any burn on his feet because it was God who did that. And then the next thing was this. Those days, not everybody have access to shoes like we have now. People who are disadvantaged do not have shoes. It's only people who have privilege or people who are independent who have shoes. And in some stories, even slaves do not wear shoes in those days. So God was telling him, Will you be a slave for me? Will you surrender your privileges to me? Will you let me come? Will you come on this journey with me? Will you trust me enough? Will you let go of the things that have been associated with you and let me take you on a journey? And the third thing was that after taking off the sandal off his feet, he was telling him, consecrate yourself to me. Because he said the place you are is a holy ground. When he took off the sandal off his feet, he began to walk on the wholeness of the word of God. At that point in time, God was setting him apart. He was consecrating him. He set him apart, and from that point began to tell him, download, go to Egypt. The same place they were looking for him. The same place he was wanted. When he landed back in Egypt, he didn't go back through the back door of the wilderness. He went straight to Pharaoh. He went to the place where he should have been arrested. But nobody there raised that point because something had changed. He had given his life over to God. He had surrendered it to God. God was the person in charge now. And all of a sudden, everything changed. The place where he was supposed to be in prison, that did not happen anymore. And then, after all that happened, God introduced him to the dimension of grace. And things began to happen and he was respected. What were the peculiarities in life of all these three people, even as a random? Number one, the peculiarities in life of all these three people. Number one, when you are serving, it is usually not the best place you could be, humanly speaking. When God calls you to service, it's usually not the best place you could be, humanly speaking. You might have just finished a night shift and you have to come to church to come and set up camera or something like that. Humanly speaking, you should be sleeping. But God will see, will he give up his sleep for me? Will he give up that thing for me? Will he give up this thing for me? Will he give up that convenience for me? Number two, when God calls you to serve, it is usually against your plans and strategy. It is usually against what you're planning because everything else will be pointing in one direction and you are going the other direction. And number two, or number three, your place of service is your place of destiny fulfillment. It is like your spiritual address. Your blessings will locate you where you are serving. It's as if you buy something online and they come to deliver to your address. If you give them the wrong address, you will not get it. So your place of service is the place heaven will come and drop your gift. If you are not serving, you are missing your parcel. Your parcel is waiting there. They will return back to sender. Let's stop our parcels being returned back to sender. They don't need the parcel in heaven. We need it here. We need to stay where we have been called. And one thing about service is that when you serve, God always shows up. Look at David. God showed up for him in front of Goliath. Look at Moses. God showed up for him even when all the magicians of Egypt were against him. And look at Joseph. God showed up for him big time. He became father to Pharaoh. All the things his brothers did to him did not matter anymore because they were all serving. And one thing I want to leave us with this morning is this. All through, if you look at the life of David and the life of Joseph, whatever God could not give them, they did not look for it. Please, I want to beg us this morning. What God cannot give you, you don't need it. What God cannot give you, you don't need it. If God cannot do it, it's because you do not need it. Because there's nothing God cannot do. Don't because and say, oh, time is going, let me take matters into my own hands. Oh, nobody is recognizing me, let me go to where they will give me the position of the senior apostle, senior prophet. That's not the way it works. Stop sabotaging yourself. If you stay in your place of assignment, growth will come, flourishing will come. And if you look at all of them, for Moses, when Moses died, it was God himself that declared his obituary. It was God that said, Moses, my servant is dead. Joshua, this and this and this. And he began to speak to Joshua. Look at David. Up till today, they still talk about David in Israel because this man served. And Bible told us that even in Acts, he served his generation according to the will of God. And look at Joseph. He saved the whole nation, saved the whole generation. And there was something that shocked me when I went to Hebrews 11 to go and look at the hall of faith. If you look at it, I actually realized that there were many more verses about Moses, even more than Abraham. You can go and check it. I was surprised. I said, wow. So we may think that he was serving, he was doing things that were not desirable, but it is in that undesirable state that God will bring out his gold, that God will bring out all those great things he has for us. I implore us this morning, even as we move into our campus, let's remember that serving is essential. Serving is required of us. Remember, it is only those who served that grow. If you don't serve, you'll be redundant. And I'll finish with this. If you've ever seen people who are in hospital for a long time, they've been in bed. When they recover, they usually get physios to come and help them to walk again because they've not used their muscle over time. They will have something called disuse atrophy. The muscle will get smaller and weak. They now have to build it. So if God has given you a talent and an ability, if you don't use it, you will dwindle. You have disuse atrophy. As children of God, we cannot afford to have disuse atrophy in the house of God. Whatever gift he has given you, please use it. It may not be big, it may be small, but it is that small one that God wants. It is that little one he wants. It might just be packing the chair. It might just be greeting somebody at the door. But make sure you are doing something. Make sure you are serving, because serving is greatness. Let's rise up to our feet this morning. I want us to pray. I know I may not have many friends after this message, but I've said what God has put in my heart. We all need to serve. And for those of us who are we serving to the best of our ability? Everyone's given witness that David served his generation according to the will of God. Can it be said that you are serving this church according to the will of God? Are you serving according to your own ability? Are you serving because of the way you feel? Let's reflect this morning and ask him for mercy to give us the grace to serve. It is only those who serve that increase. It is only those who serve that God blesses. It is only those if you look, John 15 says, Jesus is divine, we are the branches. It is only a tree that bears more fruit, that he prunes, that can get more. We all need to be bearing fruit. We can't afford to be fruitless. The campus is beautiful. It's wonderful. But it's been given to us for a purpose. Let us all rise up. We can't walk alone anymore. One or two people cannot be doing it. All of us must be involved. We must harness all our talents so that we can bring our king back. We can bring even the nations under the glory and the power of God. Let's ask him for mercy this morning. Let's ask him to help us. Let's repent in whatever way we have not been doing what he has told us to do. Let's receive grace this morning or this afternoon, so we can be what he wants us to be. Because it's all about advancing his kingdom. It's not about man. It is about him. Father, we thank you. We give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
I believe that we need to repent. If you've not been serving, if you've just been showing up and going back, some of us finished the apostolic training school and we have not done anything with it. I want us to go to the Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Those who serve become great. Matthew 20 from verse 20. Some of us will show up at the beginning of a service and we take off after the service. Matthew 20, 20. What is the title there? Greatness is serving. This is the title of the message our brother just preached. Greatness is serving. And I didn't ask him to preach this, say it this way. I've never done that to anybody. If you want, if you're going to share and you want me to, you know, you say, oh, want to discuss some things, yes, I'm open to it. But I don't tell people, say this, say that, say this, say that. No, I don't do that. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through the person. And of course, I can make input. as the Lord leads, and as the person desires. Greatness is serving. We think greatness is when you are given a big position. When the kingdom, greatness is serving. I want us to go to the book of Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 from verse number 7. In fact, from verse number 5. Isaiah 66, 5. Say, hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. I want us to go, we've heard the word this morning. Are you going to tremble at that word? Are you going to receive that word? And if you have not been doing anything, I think you need to just say, Lord, help me. Help me. Yes, the Lord has spoken to us. He's calling us to greatness and showing us the path to greatness. And the path is to serve. What gifting has God given to you? What talent has God given to you? Very soon, we'll be moving to the campus. But one person, two people cannot be doing everything. You can't just show up and then leave. Showing up and leaving is for those who are coming for the first time, those who are not. But for those of us, you've gone through apostolic training school, done this, is a call to service, but it's also a call to greatness. Let's go before God, because God is calling us up as a church. That is why he's talking to us like this. That's why we need to repent and say, Father, forgive me. Where I should have been serving, abandon my post. I don't show up. When I do, I just walk in, I walk out. Let's bow before God. Let's tremble before the word of God this morning. Father, we thank you for the word you've shared with us. You talk to God and repent. You want to tremble. And you want to experience him. Maybe I should take us back to verse number 5. He said, hear the word of the Lord. Let's go there. You who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my namesake, said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. And then verse 6 said, the sound of noise from the city, and a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Verse 7, before she was in labor, she gave birth. This is for those who serve, those who tremble at the word of God. He said, before labor, that means that I'll cause him to avoid the pain that other people are going through. I was going to as we're going to communion this morning, how many of us have heard about the story that happened in Israel? How many people have lost their lives as a result of that? Not just in Israel, but even in Palestine. How many people? Thousands. Do you know that there were people who used their money and bought tickets to go to Israel and attend that party. People flew in from Germany. They flew in from different parts of the world to attend that particular party. That means that with their own money, they bought the ticket that led to their death. With their own money. So, supposing when they wanted to buy that ticket and go, somebody said, why don't you stay? Don't go. I'm sure they would have said, no, no, don't. That is where we want to be. They were dancing. Is anything wrong with dancing? No. And they were dancing, they were whatever. Then suddenly, when those terrorists showed up, do you think Christians actually died, or all the people who died are very bad people? Do you know that many of those who were in that place were very young people? I have never in my entire life, I can show you, I've never seen a presenter, after that incident happened, presenting the news and was crying. Did you see? I was crying. The lady was crying because of what they saw and what took place there. How about the people who have died in Palestine? Were they the people who went and attacked Israel? How many innocent people have lost their lives? You know, but my concern is just that when those things are happening, why does it also impact or affect Christians? Why is it that you find those things happening and then Christians are also sometimes walking with their own feet to go there? Did God know that that thing will happen? Or God didn't know? Could God have warned people and said, don't go there? Why is it that we don't hear? Because we don't tremble at his word. Because the word will respond to you based on your response to the word. If you take the word of God lightly, you are likely going to experience the power of the word. If you hear the word and you say, and you push it aside, you have not just pushed the word aside, you have pushed the word that may save you aside. You have pushed the word that has been sent to bless you aside. You have pushed it aside. My dear ones, whenever God is speaking, let's learn to tremble at his word and make adjustments where we need to make adjustments. Don't push it. Don't give excuse. Don't say God knows. At least God understands. God understands, but God will never bless disobedience. I'm not saying he doesn't understand. God understands. I'll share a personal thing with you. This happened many years ago. While we were back in Nigeria, there was a plane that crashed and over 250 officers died in it. Yes. Crashed and 250 officers died in it. There was a lady in the fellowship with us whose senior brother died in that. But there was one man also who was in that particular plane. He heard God. God said to him, get out. Get out. But the brother of this lady who died was also a Christian. Why didn't he hear? Why was it that only this other person was the one that heard? Was that brother the only Christian there? Why is it that the other Christians there did not hear anything? Is God partial? Is God saying, I don't like this person, I like this person? You know the reason? Those who tremble at my word. Do you tremble at his word? Let's bow our heads and we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word you've shared with us this morning. Lord, I pray for grace for everyone to make the amends. You always reveal to avert. We are speaking these words to us because of what is ahead of us. And it's mainly because those who will listen, you will promote. But those who says, well, you know, you know what the Lord is saying to us? He said, I will bless those who obey me. Those who tremble at my word, I will promote them and I will lift them up. So the choice is yours, whether you will obey or not, whether you will receive or refuse. It is our choice, it is your choice. Those who tremble at the word.